The Southern California Sanitarium, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, March 17, 1902. I am unable to sleep. My mind is much burdened in regard to the location of the sanitarium in Southern California. I learn that Dr. Moran has negotiated for property in Los Angeles. This was not a wise thing for him to do, seeing that the money for this investment would have to be hired. There is a work to be done in California that has been strangely neglected. This work must now be done. As doors open for the proclamation of truth, these doors must be entered. Southern California is to be worked. But there are many, many fields that have been left unworked. These fields should now be entered. Let the neglect of the past be seen no longer. Men and women can do a good work for the Lord if they will consecrate themselves unreservedly to Him. But not half the energy has been brought into the management of the various lines of God's work that should be brought into them. We seemed to be in a council meeting, and one of authority stood up among us and began to speak. He said to Dr. Moran, "You have moved inadvisedly. The question of the location of the sanitarium in Southern California is of great importance and is not to be settled by the judgment of one man or of several men who are all inclined to want the same thing. The judgment of other men is to be brought into the decision. The whole subject is to be carefully considered. At the time when this matter was under consideration before, it was left unsettled because all did not agree. Your mind, Dr. Moran, was not in harmony with the mind of your brethren or with the mind of God. And now you make a hasty move and then expect your brethren to sign papers making the California Medical Association responsible for a large sum of money. This is not the way in which the work should begin or be carried forward. The king's business requires haste, but there is a zeal that is not according to knowledge. Moves that mean so much to the cause are not to be made until they have received full consideration. The delay has been long, but this abrupt haste does not show wisdom. The move you have made is not to be endorsed without the full consent of those of your brethren who have an interest in the sanitarium work fully as deep as it is possible for you to have. They will be compelled to carry a part of the responsibility, and they should have a voice in the decisions made. Many are to have the privilege of considering the subject of the location of the sanitarium in Southern California. Careful consideration is to be given to the business arrangements that mean so much to the work on the Pacific Coast and to the work in regions beyond. Wisdom is to be shown in all the movements made to advance the work of God. The king's business requires haste, but there are times when he that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah 28, verse 16. There is a time to pray, as well as a time to act. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, "In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying unto thee, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." Isaiah 30, verse 15, 18, 21. The Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Verse 18. Waiting is highly commendable when circumstances are as they are in this case. Waiting may be the hardest kind of service, but there are times when it is wholly acceptable to the Lord. And at such times, it will yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. The Lord is interested in every line of his work. He understands when men are prepared to take hold of the work in the right spirit. When they are prepared to carry it forward wisely, his way is the best way. To the sick and suffering, Christ comes with the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" John 5, verse 6. He comes to them as a physician who knows what they need. He comes to them as a healer, a redeemer. The help that he offers is sufficient for the greatest sorrow, the deepest grief. The great physician supplies the necessities of his children and bears their sorrows. He is acquainted with their griefs. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 4, 5. He does not propose to do a half work, to bring partial relief. He will save to the uttermost all who come to him. What a great work it is possible for those to do who cooperate with him. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22, verse 14. Last night the same scenes passed before me that passed before me 35 years ago, when the light was given to establish a sanitarium that would be the means of educating many souls in regard to the right principles of living, and of bringing them to a knowledge of the truth. We must establish sanitariums for this purpose, and they must be so conducted that God can cooperate with the efforts made in them to relieve physical and spiritual suffering. God wants the sick and suffering to understand what it means to have the advantage of living in a sanitarium conducted in accordance with the principles of the gospel. Every worker connected with these institutions is to follow on to know the Lord, that he may know that his going forth is prepared as the morning. If our missionary spirit were stronger, if the love of Jesus filled the hearts of those in service for him, many of the sick and suffering would be drawn to Jesus, led to the tree of life, to take of its life-sustaining, health-restoring power. During the past 3 nights, light has been given me that in the medical missionary work, we have lost great advantages by failing to realize the need of a change in our plans in regard to the location of sanitariums. It is the Lord's will that our sanitariums shall be established outside the city. These institutions are to be places in which those who conduct them and those who come to them for treatment will be given every opportunity for obtaining a rich spiritual experience. The surroundings of a sanitarium should be as attractive as possible. Out-of-door life is a means of gaining health and happiness. As the sick look upon the beautiful scenery, as they see the flowers in their loveliness, they will venture to take a few steps outdoors to gather some of the flowers, precious messengers of God's love to his family in affliction here below. In flower garden and orchard, the sick will find health, cheerfulness, and happy thoughts. All of these representations, and many more, passed as a living reality before me. I felt grateful to God as I realized what an influence an outdoor life among the flowers and fruit-laden trees has upon those who are sick both in body and in mind. After they stay for a short time at a sanitarium situated in the midst of the beauties of nature, hope begins to take the place of despair. The heart is softened by the objects of beauty in nature that the great master artist has given to mankind as pictures in which are portrayed his goodness and love. The night before last, so many things were presented to me that I arose about 10:30, saying, "I thank the Lord for thus teaching me that in our sanitariums we can do more than simply give treatment. The sick should be taught that they are to surrender themselves, body, soul, and spirit to Christ, whose they are by creation and by redemption. Human beings have cost him much, and they can draw upon his tender sympathies. When they surrender themselves to him, they may expect to be relieved from worriment. Little things make up the sum of life. Christ will help all who are troubled by little cares and perplexities. Do you not think that Jesus knows that the enemy uses these to separate the soul from him? Let the patients be educated to commune with Christ. He is the source of power and goodness. He is looking down on this world with pity, seeking to draw souls to himself. Let our medical institutions be established on extensive tracts of land, where the patients will have an opportunity for outdoor exercise. This will prove to be one means for their restoration to health. Encourage the patients to live out of doors. Devise plans to keep them outdoors, where they will become acquainted with God through nature. As they take exercise in the open air, restoration will begin in body, mind, and soul. Life in the open air, away from the congested cities, is health-restoring. The pure air has in it health, and life. As it is breathed in, it has an invigorating effect on the whole system. The sanitarium should not be established in any city. Future developments will reveal this so plainly that all will understand the meaning of the words that the Lord has given me to speak to you. I have often been shown that Seventh-day Adventists, while living in the world, are to come out from the world and be separate. They are not to participate in the amusements and the alluring schemes of the world. Neither are they to adopt worldly policies and practices. While living in the world, they are to labor with all their God-given ability to save perishing souls. The whole book of Jude is a warning. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude 1-3. After speaking of the corruptions that came into the church, he continues, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Verse 5. The statement that follows is one that we need to consider carefully, for it teaches us that high position will not ensure the salvation of any person, but rather will imperil his soul, because he is human, and human traits of character are ever seeking for recognition and for the mastery over man. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Verse 6. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Verses 11:16-18. This is the description of a class of persons that will be found living in every city. As there is no excuse for placing our sanitariums in the midst of cities, we should keep them out of these ungodly places. Work for the cities as the providence of God shall indicate, but keep our institutions away from them. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Verses 20-25. The world is one great lazar house. On every hand are to be found the suffering. Those who are connected with our sanitariums should make every effort to encourage the patients to live an outdoor life, so far as it is possible for them to do so. Nature is the great physician that will heal them of all their maladies, both spiritual and physical. Everything that can be done should be done to give those who come to our sanitariums for treatment the opportunity of living as much as possible in the open air. The patient should have the advantages that are given by natural surroundings. Nature is the great restorer of both soul and body. It would be wrong to erect a sanitarium in a city. The advantages to be gained by living outside the cities are to be regarded as medicinal, for through association with nature, the patients come into contact with the God of nature. We long for the time to come when medical missionary workers will improve their opportunities to sow beside all waters, not knowing which shall prosper, this or that. A Paul may plant, and Apollos water, but God giveth the increase. Jesus expects those who believe in him to give to the patients in our medical institutions the messages of God's word as healing leaves from the tree of life. If this is not recognized as the purpose for which our sanitariums are established, let us stop and consider of what use it is to spend so much money in erecting buildings for use as sanitariums. If our medical institutions are simply for the purpose of healing bodily diseases, would it not be better to invest our means in the cause of missions? I know that the plans Dr. Moran is making are not in the order of God. He must remember that it is the conference that will have to be responsible for every dollar invested. Did his brethren tell him to go ahead as he has done? He is laying plans to establish a sanitarium in the city, when light has been given that we must get out of the cities, for in a short time they will be filled with confusion and distress. A city is no place for a sanitarium, and the plan to invest $50,000 or $60,000 in a sanitarium to be established in Los Angeles is decidedly unwise. For 3 nights, the need of establishing our sanitariums outside the cities has been presented to me. I have written out the instruction given me on this subject, and I hope my brethren will be able to see its importance.